Good morning. Happy Monday to you all. It's Katie Christensen here, Matt George behind the glass. Carmichael Dave out today at home, sick as a dog. Got that text message yesterday afternoon. Apparently, and I don't want to tell, well, I don't care. He's not really here. So
what is he going to do, right?
Carmichael Dave is having his first bout of food poisoning ever. Have you ever had food poisoning, Matt?
I've never, but I've heard it's terrible.
Neither have I. I've never had it. Dave is what, like going to be 41, I think, or 42 next month? Ugh, I can't. I don't know which one.
Oh, he looks 35.
I just remember when he turned 40 that it was like I've never seen someone so depressed in my life. Seriously, like didn't get out of bed. I thought women were the only ones that did crazy things like that. But apparently Carmichael Dave falls into that category. So he's over 40 and having his first, you know, experience with food poisoning, which I've witnessed it with others, never had it myself. So I feel for him deeply. But he's not here today, and let's hope he's back tomorrow. I don't know how long this lasts.
Didn't his son just have an attack of, throw up, too?
Projectile vomiting in the orthodontist office, yes.
Oh, like father, like son.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that, too. Like, is it really food poisoning or whatever? But Mason never was sick after that, from what I know. So, got a lot going on today. We're going to have Howard Beck on at 8:05. All kinds of news around the NBA, and it is proving to be one hell of an off season, keeping us very entertained. Plus, we're gonna be giving away tickets to Guns N' Roses at Golden One Center. We're gonna have a pair of tickets to see them on November 18th. There's more information at khdk.com, but we'll do that later in the show. What did you do this weekend, Matt? Did you have anything fun planned?
I had a very lazy weekend with the exception of heading down to Manteca to help. I don't know why, because I wasn't any help at all. Helping my girlfriend set up her sister's bridal shower, which was the most overwhelming and unnecessary stress in my life.
Okay, explain that. Unnecessary stress?
I mean, without trying to insult too much of our female audience, what's the point? I mean, it's just a gift day. That's all it is. It's just, hey, come and give me more gifts on top of what you're already going to give me.
Oh,
for the,
really?
That's what it is. I mean,
well, you know what?
I'm going to be happy when it's my bride that's getting those gifts, because eventually I'm going to get them. But from the outside looking in, I'm just setting up gift tables and looking around at what all these pitter-patter of females setting up this fantastic party that men don't even get to go to, which, darn.
But you were there.
No, I was there for setup, and I bounced. I got the hell out of there.
Oh, really? You didn't stay and play games, Matt?
Well, the only game I would have been interested in playing is her fiancé. He has a man bun, and, he rocks this man bun. Like, he rocks it. So the only game they played that I would have been interested in that I thought was pretty clever was they played pin the bow on the man bun. So they had a blown-up picture of his head. And you had to try and pin. I thought that was pretty clever, but other than that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I actually had a wedding kind of thing this weekend, too. First of all, someday I will be happy to have a bridal shower. There's still time.
I'll get you a gift.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you're
of course.
You're so sweet. That's why I like you, because you're sweet like
Dave's
that.
Dave's going to get mad that he's not invited to the bridal
Dave's
shower.
Dave's probably going to be planning it. So.
That's a good point.
Could you imagine that?
He'll be at his pool.
Oh, my God. It would be, you'd have the Jimmy Buffett music in the background. It would be like, who can eat the most brownies? It will be one of those things, right? So basically, I'm not having Dave do it.
I'm still convinced he's going to fight with your sisters for maid of honor. Like, knowing Dave, he will fight for it.
I can tell him that he can be my maid of honor as long as he wears the dress I pick out for him.
No rocket.
Well, I went down on Friday night. The weirdest situation, right? I went down on Friday night to a wedding in Livermore. And this is why it's like a weird situation, because my boyfriend was the best man at this wedding. And it's his group of like childhood friends that he's like, some of them he's known since like daycare, you know. So it's this group of people. I've met all of his firefighter buddies, you know, but all of his like long term life, you know, long friends, I haven't met them yet because they don't really live here. So
make a skinny chicks comment?
No. Oh, but the guy that was about, the whole, you know, oh, well, he likes skinny chicks.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. That comment, that was one of his buddies that was there, who I met. really, it, so it went really well, but this is why it was so weird. I didn't go to the wedding, right? I got down, I left Sacramento for Livermore, I think at like 8:45 at night. So I'm driving down to just kind of be there at the very tail end of the wedding and the reception, and then to go out after with everyone because it was a small wedding and this was like months ago that it was planned. And so I kind of came into the picture fairly recently. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little nervous to go down there because I'm going to meet all of these people for the first time. And it's a very awkward situation to walk in, basically crash a wedding. That's what I was doing.
There you go.
And so I decided to wear like a red dress, right? I had two dresses. I didn't know which one to wear. Both of them were red. I think I went with red because it's such a weird situation to walk into, and red's a very powerful color.
Oh, you didn't stop and get Dave's opinion?
No, I would never ask Dave for fashion advice. We've seen how he dresses. But so I send my boyfriend, and this is probably where I'm the annoying girl, like asking the boy, what do you wear? And this is probably where things went south. Both dresses were red. One, very conservative, very, it looks very nice on, but when you look at it on the hanger, it's like, meh, you know, it's mm-hmm. a red dress. The other one is like this, you know, strappy, like kind of low cut. And I don't wear, despite what people might think, I don't really wear super revealing clothes. I'm too old for that crap now. I think I did that when I was in my 20s because you just don't have that presence of mind when you're in your 20s to think about like, oh, are my boobies out? You know, like I think that's what most people do at that age.
Yeah, I don't think about that at my age.
Yeah, you don't think about it. So I send him the pictures and I kind of explain each dress and I'm like, which one should I wear? Well, of course.
I wonder.
Yeah, he chose that one. So I walk up and I get down there and I text him and the wedding was running late and they were behind on everything. Like I'm 10 minutes away and he's like, they're just now cutting the cake and we just finished dinner. I was like, oh my God, this wow. wedding is like an hour and a half behind. Like they should have been deep into dancing and all this stuff by then. And I thought I'd be walking in to that situation, which is a little bit better. So he comes out to the parking lot and he brings me and he's like kind of talking me through. We get about 20 yards from the entrance to this. It's at this really pretty winery mm-hmm. in Livermore, and it was really cool setting. And he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, my parents are here.
Is this your first meeting?
I've never met them before.
No.
I've never met them before. I know I'm meeting all of the friends, which it's like a big group of, you know, guy friends and all their wives and their kids. And like, it's just an uncomfortable situation to walk into. And then by the way,
yeah, drop that
my
bombshell.
Parents are here. And I was like, what? And so it was a little chilly. And here I am in this kind of revealing dress, right? Feeling very uncomfortable. And this is, by the way, the first time I've socially, like, you know, I met him and I was wearing a pair of high heels. So I'm taller than him, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm wearing a pair of high heels, right? I look nice. I did my best to look nice and presentable. And when you do that as a lady, you wear high heels. You're supposed to do that. So I'm already probably like 4 or 5 inches taller than him at this point. And I put on like a leather jacket because it was a little bit chilly. I never took that jacket off. It did not happen. There was no way. I was like, are you kidding me? Not only am I meeting your parents, but you told me to wear this dress and my everything is out. You know, I'm saying, is that just like something, do men not think about that kind of
Absolutely
thing?
Absolutely not.
So
all you had to say, you didn't even have to, did you send him pictures of the dress or did you just describe it to him in the text?
I sent him a picture of the dress, but it was on a hanger. But like weeks ago, I sent him a picture of it when I first got it and tried it on, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's a very nice, but I'll be honest, my cleavage was a little bit more on display than I'm used to that I'm comfortable with.
I guarantee you the only thing that registered in his mind
is
cleavage and revealing.
Yeah.
Could care less about anything else.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. It was the most agonizing thing. And so, whatever. I'm a little bit shy, right? I'm a little bit shy, period, in general. And then you walk into this situation, and I was just, it was almost like
mind-numbing. Were you as red as the dress?
Was I as red as the dress? Probably. But then on top of that, because the wedding had run late, mm-hmm. and they were supposed to be kind of like done at, I think, 10:30 at this point, and they're extending it a little bit because of how, you know, whatever. But they had stopped serving alcohol. So on top of this, I am super nervous. I'm meeting all of these people, and they were great. They were so great. His friends were great. They're trying to pull me out on the dance floor. I'm like, there's no way I'm going out there. Like, there's just a few, you know, songs left or whatever. I'm so incredibly nervous, right? And I'm not taking off my leather jacket. No matter, I didn't take it off all night. Mm-hmm. Didn't take it off all night. I took it off when I changed. That was when it came off. Because at this point, just the nerves. But is this like seriously? Has your girlfriend met your parents?
Yes.
How did that go? Like
it,
when?
It went great.
When did it happen? And did you blindside her?
No. She knew well in advance. She blindsided me though. That's a funny story. But she just met my mom. Maybe a month into things, and okay. It was just a little dinner at the house. So it was just literally us two and my mom. So yeah. There was no pressure. But I had to meet her parents and get her dad's permission before I could even date her. That's how, like,
no way.
That's their family.
Well, that's an interesting question. This is woman asking man to explain, mansplain relationships,
right.
Like your side of things. So my dad is coming into town tonight with my nephew. And they're just staying one night because my nephew's getting his stuff out of his storage unit and he's taking it home. And so he's my boyfriend, Joseph. He's met my parents already. I want to say like a month and a half ago or whatever. Like, and that was he's a very old fashioned, like gentleman, like rules of how you behave and treat not only like a lady, but especially in front of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell him yesterday, you know, we were at my house and, you know, he's got a son. We're playing, you know, in the sand. I got this like little sand water table like that you set up in trucks, and we were playing, right? Which is what our weekends are. And I said, by the way, my dad's coming into town, and with my nephew, they're going to be staying here tonight. He tells me that he will not be staying at my house tonight, Monday night, because mm-hmm. my dad will be there. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, seriously, like I am a 30, almost 37
Tuck
year,
tail and
year
run.
Old woman. But no, here's the thing. Like, it's like this, the way things should be done in his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I want to respect your parents. I want to respect, you know, let them know that I respect you. And so I'm like, okay, that bothers me. Like, it doesn't bother me that he's respectful, but I'm like, I'm almost 37. I've literally for 20 years been out of my parents' house and on my own,
mm-hmm.
right? They've known me with other boyfriends. One of them lived with me. We've gone home to my parents. We've stayed in the same room. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm just not comfortable. He's like, you can talk to your dad about it. And if your dad is okay, I'm like, I'm not talking to my dad about it. Like, so I don't know. You're a little bit different. I'm assuming.
I would be the exact same way.
Yeah?
I would be terrified. It's just, especially the first time. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, I can't speak for how old, how you'll feel when you're older, but I would
even. What are
even,
you, 23?
Yeah.
Are you really? Did I guess it?
Yeah, and you nailed it.
Oh, Lord.
But I can honestly, I would not be surprised if even when I'm married to my wife and I go over to her family's house that I'm still a little nervous or like, oh, I can sleep on the couch if you want kind of thing.
Come on now.
Just out of fear. I mean, it's just parents and, well, her parents specifically, they're outdoorsy. They have guns. They can hurt me. Like, seriously, when I had to go meet the parents before I could date her, but their parents are a party family. So they threw a party like drinks and everything,
okay.
But party like they always have barbecues and family over because
uh-huh.
their family's huge. So instead of me just going to have dinner with the two of them to meet them, they decided to throw a, hey, let's meet Brittany's new boyfriend party to which 75 different people showed up,
Lord.
Including all of her pastors. So I got cornered by them. So I made it through that. So nothing really scares me anymore. However, if I were to stay at their parents' house or the
Absolutely
parents were to come to her house
room.
And I was living with her, I'd be freaked out. Like, I would be asking for his permission to sleep in my own bed.
So that's what he said. He goes, okay, well, I understand that you're not comfortable asking your dad this question. He's like, so I'll take care of it. I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean you'll take care of it? He's like, I'll have a conversation with your dad. And I know my dad so well. My dad is such an easygoing, like, you know, both of our families, Catholic backgrounds, like all of this stuff. But it's 2017
right.
as well. So, but there is this component of it where I'm like really nervous and I shouldn't be because I know how my parents, you know, look at it. I know how my dad's going to take it. And he's like, I'll take care of it. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? I don't even know. Well, what I do know is we have a huge show. There's so much going on in the NBA world. And we're going to get into that next on The Morning Brew. We're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, and there's apparently a trade request, and there's rumors abound about he and LeBron, and oh my gosh, even the Kings are involved in that. We'll get
Always.
Into that next right here on The Drive on Sports 1140. That's Kyrie Irving talking about how proud he is to be a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, that was some time ago, though, Matt, because Kyrie Irving news came out late. It was on Friday, I believe, that he has requested a trade from owner Dan Gilbert. And this is where things get interesting. Apparently, this request came when he met and sat down with Dan Gilbert on July 7th. And we're hearing about it for the first time 2 weeks later, which I've been talking a lot about, and I blogged about it yesterday after this, you know, after the news came out about just what is going on in Cleveland. And we've been talking about it to a certain degree because of the number of just abnormal things that are happening with the Cavaliers this offseason. It's been tumultuous at you know, best, chaotic at worst. And it seems like there's no direction. And then you hear that Kyrie Irving wants out of his deal, which, by the way, a trade from Cleveland would disqualify him from signing a supermax contract worth $200 million, and he wants out, and he's got 2 years remaining on his contract. So something is going on here. It's just insanity.
Yeah, your blog couldn't have come at a more perfect time too, because the initial reports said that the main reason he wanted out was because he's ready to prove that he can be the number one guy no matter where he goes. And I understand that to some extent. However, I can't believe that the state of the Cleveland Cavaliers organization and how almost everybody is pretty certain that LeBron is going to be bouncing, because everything points to LeBron is going to be bouncing. That has to be one of the major reasons why Kyrie is making this decision. No, LeBron, you're not going to leave me stuck with a bunch of old guys in the middle of a rebuild. I'm going to go now, and I'm going to try and put myself in the best possible spot.
And we're obviously going to get into this much, much deeper, but if you want to be the number one guy, and it looks like potentially LeBron James could be leaving after next season, or maybe before, I don't know, then wouldn't that be a great spot for you to be in? There's just so many things to talk about surrounding this. But right now, let's see if I can do the replay. I don't know.
Close.
Oh, let's see. Let's see if we can do this again. There we go. That is the one and the only Gary Gerald when, I don't know, let's say the Kings took on the Cavs. That was Kyrie Irving doing what he's done all career for the Cavs, make shots. But rumors came out yesterday, this is where things get a little bit crazy, that there's a potential that the Kings could be interested in Kyrie Irving, a deal that would include De'Aaron Fox and Kosta Koufos. Seriously, I about vomited when I saw that. Sam Amico of Amico Hoops or whatever, Amico, that came out, and I about lost it, because I don't think that there is any validity in that any way, shape, or form. We will get into this in depth later in the show, 6:45. But now that this has happened and there's trade rumors, Matt, there are going to be so many rumors surrounding where Kyrie Irving could potentially be going and who's interested. And yeah, the Kings came up very quickly.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of teams that are interested in Kyrie's services, because Kyrie is still a top quality player and point guard. But the Kings are always going to be pegged because they have a good young core, which we're assuming is what Cleveland is going to want to acquire in return, because they're looking at starting a rebuild here pretty soon with the departure of LeBron. And then from the Kings' perspective,
we don't even know if that's going to happen, though.
Right.
Everyone's assuming. This is why things are crazy in Cleveland, because we don't know what's going to happen. LeBron James is the one thing that is up in the air right now. And unlike LeBron in the past, he's being incredibly silent right now.
But I tell you what, if the Kings had... if this rumor were true, and say the Kings pulled the trigger on this trade, I still don't think it would happen. But if they pulled the trigger on it and it actually happened, the first move after Scott Perry leaves, the pandemonium of, oh, the Kings are reverting back to their own ways, immediately abandoning their rebuild plan to go out and get Kyrie Irving when it makes zero sense in an absolutely stacked Western Conference, it would have been a disaster for the Kings. But
yeah,
I'm not surprised to see them in rumors.
We're going to get into this more in depth and talk about just that. Is there any validity to that rumor? But in the meantime, I said it earlier, July 7th is when this meeting happened between Kyrie Irving and Dan Gilbert, and we're just hearing about it now for the first time. Let's get to Morning Brew number 3. This is where things get extremely interesting for me. Yeah, it's like it's the NBA's version of like a reality TV show or like the National Enquirer, like with the number of stories. That was Stephen A. Smith talking about how Kyrie Irving's camp believes that LeBron was the one that leaked the story. Now, this is where it gets a little bit questionable for me because it took 2 weeks for this news to even leak out. So you know it didn't come from Kyrie, and you know it didn't come from his camp if it's been 2 weeks since the initial meeting. Mm-hmm. It definitely didn't come from the front office because they have enough things to deal with right
now.
They're on damage control. They still haven't officially hired a general manager, but we'll have an update on what that situation looks like for Cleveland here a little bit later. But if you're LeBron, what is the benefit for you in leaking this story? I don't think there really is one, but it speaks to me to just how much that relationship and that trust between LeBron James and Kyrie Irving has maybe deteriorated.
Well, first off, thank you, LeBron and Kyrie, for giving us a big nugget of wonderful to talk about today and for the rest of the week. But, you know, you always have to take what Stephen A. Smith says with a grain of salt. But in this case, I think there might be something to it, and it's actually somewhat believable because the LeBron James off the court is the only part of LeBron James that I don't like, and a move like this does not seem beneath him, just knowing how LeBron is and how he's acted around the media and things of that nature. I think this gives him even more of a reason in his mind. It makes him even less on the hook for if he was to once again leave Cleveland. Now, see, Kyrie left me. Now there's zero reason for me to stay, so now I'm definitely going to go, and you have to put this on Kyrie and the organization, not me.
Passive aggressive is basically
LeBron's game.
The MO of LeBron James, the way that he kind of uses social media to kind of get his points across, to get his message across, to kind of troll his front office, his organization, all of those things. But oh man, is there just so much to unpack from this. We're going to get into that next about what exactly is happening in Cleveland. Kyrie requests a trade, which takes him out of qualifying for a Supermax. There you go. Supermax contract, which means he would lose out on $200 million. LeBron James, does he have anything to do with this? And we'll update you on the GM situation and what that tells you about what's going on in Cleveland right now. We'll do that coming up here in 4 minutes right here on Sports 1140. It's The Drive. This is Katie Christensen in for, well, Carmichael Dave out sick today. Hopefully he's feeling better tomorrow. But with how he was yesterday, God only knows at this point. You can join Sports 1140 at the California State Fair tonight starting at 6 p.m. Cal Expo. Their street team's going to be out there sponsored by Loyal Roots. They're going to be, you know, all kinds of awesome prizes. Check out their tent from 6 to 10 p.m. More information at KHTK.com. So we've talked about it a little bit this morning, and we're going to get into it in depth now because thank you, Cleveland, for utter chaos, because that gives us something to talk about in the summer, which is begs the question, too. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show in Three for Madness about the NBA offseason this year and leading up to the draft and how crazy everything has been. Kind of becoming a year-round coverage of the NBA. Is it superseding maybe taking over the most popular sport over football, over the NFL? We'll get into that. Plus, Howard Beck is going to be joining us at 8:05 to kind of break down what's going on. But Kyrie Irving, the news came out on Friday that he requested a trade from Cleveland owner Dan Gilbert. This meeting apparently took place on July 7th, and it was kept under wraps for a couple weeks, and then the news came out. Based on the reports, Matt, LeBron James was blindsided by this, had no idea that it was coming, had not spoke with Kyrie Irving about it. No news from anyone else on the team on whether or not, you know, he had talked to them about it. This kind of gets into the reasoning behind it, apparently, is that he is tired of playing second fiddle to LeBron James, which, I don't know, you have three straight trips to the finals. You have an NBA championship. You've been an all-star. How bad is it playing with LeBron James? Seriously, is it that horrible?
I mean, you know you're going to have a ticket to the finals, or at least to deep in the playoffs almost every single year. You rule the Eastern Conference, and you get to play with the best player on the planet. So I don't think it can be that bad, except for the LeBron James off the court.
He wants to be the focal point. Right? He wants to be the focal point. And this is where things get a little bit crazy to me, because I understand that every player wants to be a superstar. They want to be.
Especially after what Russell Westbrook and James Harden did this season, how much attention they got, I think Kyrie wants a piece of that pie.
No matter what, whenever you're playing on a team with LeBron James, you're going to be in the shadow a little bit, regardless.
And LeBron was more of the point guard for that team than Irving was in terms of a distributor.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem is because LeBron is such a focal point and he kind of dominates the whole basketball sphere there. As a point guard, a lot of the times Kyrie Irving isn't even the one bringing the ball up. We saw it in the finals, like
more of the scorer.
Deeper in the game. Exactly. And this was actually the very first season in LeBron James' career where he did not lead the team in shot attempts. That was Kyrie Irving. So I understand being a focal point, but is that a little bit in his head? Has he created that or is that the truth?
Well, I think the only real knock against Irving's game is that, oh, he's an isolation scorer, a selfish ball handler. I mean, he has incredible ability to dribble the basketball and create his own shot, but really, what does he do as the leader of the team? Can he lead a team? Can he be a point guard on the caliber of a passing ability of like a Nash or a Chris Paul or things of that nature? I think he hears that, and in some extent, he wants to prove the doubt is wrong by being the number one guy. I can be your leading scorer and your leading passer. And
yeah, I think he averaged almost 26 points a game last season. It's not like he didn't do anything.
He's a star.
Or that their success wasn't 100% related to his performance on the court. If you take Kyrie Irving off that team and it's just LeBron, they wouldn't have been where they were, without a doubt. And Woj is, so now it's like, okay, you requested the trade. But he's got 2 years left on it. He's under contract through the end of the 2019-2020 season.
He's got only 25.
He's got some serious time left on his contract, which makes the trading him, maybe it's easier because it's not one of those gambles that you're taking where it's a short-term rental. At least you got a couple seasons with this guy. And there's no doubt the type of player that he is and what he would be as an addition to any other team. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the Spurs are one of Kyrie's preferred destination, which, okay, that we'll get into that.
Mean nothing.
Chris Haynes of ESPN also saying that Minnesota, Miami, and the Knicks are also on that list. Which the Knicks kind of surprised me because of what's going on there. You're going potentially from one situation where it's, you know, utter chaos and the turmoil that's going on within the organization. I mean, you think back, Matt, to before the draft on June 22nd, and this is before Dan Gilbert had fired David Griffin, the GM of the Cavs, who up until a couple hours before he was relieved of his duties as general manager in Cleveland, he was feverishly working on the phones to try and get a trade for Jimmy Butler and to work out something for Paul George.
Right.
And Indiana is kind of the reason that whole Paul George deal, you know, fell through. Kevin Pritchard, the GM there, apparently sent a text message cutting everything off. And we all know where he ended up. He ended up with Russell Westbrook in OKC for way less than multiple teams were trying to get Boston included in that. So that's maybe begs the conversation a little bit that, okay, they wanted Paul George out of the East. So you can understand that to a certain degree. But when Jimmy Butler was pushing for a trade, he spoke to some of the players on the Cavaliers squad, on that roster. And based on reports, and this was, you know, right before the draft, before all this happened, he kind of said, hey, I don't want that trade anymore, because he was hearing from players on that team, man, you don't want to come here. You do not want to come here. So what does that tell you about an organization? And in my blog yesterday, Matt, I wrote about, you know, it's like Cleveland is basketball Armageddon right now. Mm-hmm. There's so many questions about what's going on there. And all you can try to do is piece things together and the environment that has been created there. And when they brought LeBron, when LeBron came back after he left Miami and decided to come back to Cleveland, he 100% had all of the control. But what is this doing to his teammates? Is it alienating players to the point now where they don't want to play with the best player in the world?
Well, and I think LeBron has proven to play favorites with, if you're one of his guys, he'll go to war for you and he'll go to bat for you. I mean, you saw what he did for Tristan Thompson just in terms of a contract. But if you are not toe-to-toe with LeBron at all times, he will call you out. And he's not afraid to call you out, whether it's kind of a backhand through the media or whether it's yelling in your face. We don't know what kind of leader he is in the locker room itself for all reasons that we've been given to believe he is a good leader.
Well, and the relationship between LeBron James and David Griffin was apparently a very good one. And from everything that I've read with this whole Kyrie Irving news coming out, he was instrumental in keeping Kyrie Irving happy this last season. Because Kyrie was struggling for multiple reasons, is what the reports say. And David Griffin was constantly talking to him, trying to keep him happy, trying to make sure that everything stayed copacetic, if you will, with the Cavs. And that is a responsibility of a general manager that I don't think a lot of times people really give much credit to. That is a behind-the-scenes thing, that they're dealing with these narcissistic personalities and these superstars that are always wanting more. They want more credit. They want more shots. All of these things. Well, as of now, they still don't have a full-time general manager hired. They haven't named one, but it sounds like Kobe Altman, who was basically the number three guy behind David Griffin, it's imminent that they're going to offer him the job. This coming after Chauncey Billups turned it down. It's just there seems to be no direction. And if Dan Gilbert, as your owner, is the one making these decisions, and he's not the one that has fostered these relationships with the players to try and keep them happy, keep them, you know, in a good mental space, then the wheels are just starting to fall off.
Yeah, Gilbert is doing everything in his power to make this thing fall apart so that inevitably, I believe that the Cavs are on a one-way ticket to a rebuild. And we talked about it this weekend on the weekend show that we do. This might be Kyrie requesting a trade might be a good thing for Cleveland in the long run. In the short term, it sucks. But in the long run, Kyrie may be making the hard decision for the Cavs. Like, we don't want to part ways with Kyrie, but now that he's making this decision for us, now we can get this rebuild going and
Here's
we can get
thing,
good
though,
talent for
how
him.
How can you even talk about a rebuild when you've been to three straight NBA finals and won one of them?
The
you
power
have,
of the Warriors.
You have LeBron James on your roster right now. He's saying, and we'll get into this in the next segment, he will not waive his no-trade clause. He's one of three players in the NBA that have a no-trade clause, Carmelo Anthony and Dirk Nowitzki being the other ones. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't want to go, you don't have to trade Kyrie Irving. You don't have to. But if you don't, what the hell does that do to your team next season?
And still, even if you keep him here and you keep your core together, you can't touch the Warriors.
So I just can't. It blows my mind that we're talking about a team that's been to three straight NBA finals and talking about a rebuild.
Well, are the Cavs content with them just making another NBA finals, making it eight straight for LeBron? Because that's all they're going to get.
Let me
that's
tell
the
you
best
this.
They can do.
LeBron has been silent this offseason, the last few weeks since the NBA draft leading up to it. He didn't help recruit players in free agency. He's been on a beach. He's literally, based on somebody that has used social media as an athlete to get his point across and drive his agenda, he has been silent.
He checked out.
He said he's blindsided by this. I don't really know what's going on. But this news about Kyrie Irving, all of the NBA is a flutter right now. He is such a great player, an all-star, an NBA champion. There are plenty of teams that would love to have Kyrie Irving. Now, are the Kings one of them? There was a report that came out yesterday saying that the Kings were interested in trading one of their brand new, quote-unquote, superstars. And a vet. We'll get into that next and see if there's any validity to that story about the Kings going after Kyrie Irving. We'll do that when we get back on the drive right here in 4 minutes. What the heck is this, Matt? Oh, and then it hits. Gosh, Katie, just wait for it. Well done, you. This is The Drive, Sports 1140. Katie Christensen, Matt George behind the glass, helping out today. Bigger role because Carmichael Dave is home with food poisoning, and it was not good.
No, thank you.
Not good. I want no part of that. It's not one of those things that is contagious, but I don't want to even see him until things are, like, right.
Nope.
You can call us at 339-1140. Text us at 44-1140. We've been talking this morning. We're going to have Howard Beck on at 8:05 to join us to kind of get into all of the news in the NBA. Most importantly, the news that Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's so many things that have come out of this, whether or not LeBron James is the one that leaked the news. Stephen A. Smith has said that Kyrie Irving's camp definitely believes that LeBron is the one. However, everything else we've heard is that LeBron James was blindsided by this, had no idea. But in all of this news that is coming out, whenever you have a player of Kyrie Irving's ability that is voicing his desire to leave his team, everybody in the NBA is scrambling to try and figure out what they can do to try and acquire this guy. And the reports came out, Matt, that he was interested in four teams, one of them being Minnesota, which, by the way, could you imagine him on that roster? The New York Knicks, the Miami Heat, which how funny would that be if he left Cleveland to go to Miami, right?
And then LeBron joined him in free agency next year.
Oh, my God. And the other one was the Spurs, which I don't really know how much that is. But Sam Amico yesterday put out a story on Amico Hoops that the Sacramento Kings were one of the teams that was trying to put together a package to acquire Kyrie Irving, who has 2 years left on his deal. He's under contract through the 2019-2020 season. And, of course, Kings fans, it's like Twitter kind of exploded from that point. Because, I'll say this, Matt, I in the 10 years that I have kind of been involved in this organization and covered this team, and there was a three-year gap there where I was gone, but I have never seen Kings fans so excited about an upcoming season as I have this year with the way that the Kings performed in the draft, picking up De'Aaron Fox with that 5 pick, Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, and Frank Mason III. Like, and then what they did in free agency, George Hill, Zach Randolph, Vince Carter. I mean, there is a lot to be excited about. And De'Aaron Fox is kind of the primary piece to that offseason that as much as Kings fans want to win, they also want to know that there's a direction with this team. And I think finally they feel that there is a direction, and that direction is a rebuild. Not saying that the Kings are going to be in the playoffs this year because of all the amazing offseason moves that they've made. And they've scored well nationally. Like, everyone is loving what the Kings did and the direction that Vlade Divac is taking this organization. But then to have this news about Kyrie Irving wanting a trade, and then to all of a sudden hear the news, oh my gosh, the Kings are interested in packaging De'Aaron Fox and Costa Kufis to get him. I wanted to vomit.
Yeah.
I wanted to vomit because not only do I think that that is fake news at its best, I don't know what sources he has that said that. James Hamm of NBC Sports came out and said that according to all of his sources, and he is very, very deeply ingrained in the Kings organization because he covers them for NBC Sports. Mm-hmm. That all of those rumors have been put to rest, that they are not interested at all. But do you believe that?
I mean, this is par for the course for Amico. I mean, this is or Amico, that, or however
Amico,
you pronounce it.
I don't know
it.
How you say his name.
That guy. Sam Amick wannabe. It's par for the course for him. I mean, he's rumored or leaked things like this before, and the Kings are always going to be an easy target because of their history as a franchise. Plus, like we talked about in the Morning Brew, the Kings have the pieces to make these kind of moves for a team like Cleveland who may want to start a rebuild. Young pieces are really attractive, and the Kings have acquired four of them just with this draft.
And that's the point right there, Matt. They are a team that actually have pieces that would be intriguing.
And they have a clear plan, too, that goes beyond the Warriors, right? Nobody really feels like, with the exception of maybe three, four teams in the West and maybe one or two teams in the East, nobody really feels like they have a shot or can really touch or compete with the Warriors right now. So they're looking towards the future, waiting the Warriors out, because the Warriors can't be this for 4, 5, 6 years, hopefully. So the Kings, I would say, are one of the best, if not the best, teams that has that future plan going right now. That's why the national media likes what they did this offseason so much.
There's one thing that you can, I'm talking specifically right now to Kings fans. I don't believe this. I don't believe it
at all.
I don't think that this front office and Vlade is at all interested in this situation. I think that they have a plan in place and that they're going to execute it.
Right.
And I don't believe that, especially after signing George Hill. I don't believe that that is something that they would be interested in doing.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking to Kings fans right now when I say be very careful about what you hear in the media when it comes to interest and moves and rumors. Because with a situation like this with a player of the caliber of Kyrie Irving, there's going to be all kinds of teams that are putting their name in the hat.
Yeah.
Some of them in a legit way, some of them not, because it's whether or not you have the assets and the ability to put together a deal that the Cavs would be interested in. And we don't even know that the Cavs are going to trade him. They don't have to.
Nope.
He's under contract right now. They don't have to do it. He doesn't have any say in this right now. Now, granted, like once a player says that they want out, and if you decide to keep him, then you're dealing with a whole nother issue, mm-hmm. you know, coming up. But do not believe the headlines you're hearing, because a lot of these teams are going to leak out this information that they're interested just to create chaos. And a lot of reporters are going to do that. And I kind of think that that is exactly what is going on right here.
Yeah, the sources that Kings should really be worried about are the Sam Amick, the Scott Howard Coopers, the Shams, or the Woj's. Other than that, I mean, if those guys haven't touched it, but guys like Amico have.
Yeah, well, and that is this is exactly, and I like this from a Kings fan, from the 916. Can we quit talking about Kyrie to the Kings, please? It was a fake article. It was never going to happen. Thank you. I 100% agree with you. However, the fact that it was out there, this texter may know that and realize that, but so many people did not. I cannot tell you the number of people that were tweeting at me like, oh my God, Kyrie Irving, like they want any. It's like anytime someone sees something shiny, they want it. Mm-hmm. They want it. They want the shiny object. Kyrie Irving right now is the shiny object in the NBA. And this is like just becoming one of the craziest NBA off seasons that I can recall. It is insane. And how much of this is going to affect LeBron James? What is going to happen there? What is he thinking? How is he involved, if at all? We'll have some sound coming up after this break in the next 3 minutes right here on Sports 1140, and we'll talk just about that. LeBron, what's he got to do with all this?